Hello, welcome to Raymond Castile's Basement of Horror. This will be an unusual episode. This is going to be a little chat, kind of like a live stream, but without the live and without the stream. So I guess it's like a dead stream. But you'll just sit here and talk a little bit, give you some show updates, and talk a little bit about, have a little show and tell, talk about some of the new monster stuff that's either been released or been announced over the past few weeks. But first, a few show notes. We're going to have one more Halloween-themed episode on Halloween, October 31st. That's the date we celebrate Halloween. The morning of Halloween, expect a new episode of Basement of Horror, and it will be a more traditional kind of episode where I've got vintage items to show you all in one category, and I'll be talking about a particular company, and I think you'll like it. It's a very Halloween-y Halloween episode, very old school traditional kind of Halloween stuff. So hopefully you'll look forward to that and you'll join me Halloween morning for that final Halloween season episode of Basement of Horror. One of the reasons I wanted to make sure I had an episode this Saturday, not just because I know people look forward to episodes on Saturdays and I didn't want them to feel like they were getting shortchanged, but also I wanted to let you know there isn't going to be a bleak Sunday this year. So tomorrow, if you're watching this on Saturday, don't expect bleak Sunday videos. You'll notice we haven't announced bleak Sunday. There's not going to be one this year. And if you're in the Basement of Horror Facebook group, then you already know that because we've been talking about it there. I just wasn't able to rally the troops. I didn't have enough participation. I didn't want to go forward if I didn't think it was going to be everything it should be. I really want Bleak Sunday to be something special. It is essentially a Halloween special, and I want it to be special. So I don't want to just barely squeak by. I want it to be special or not do it at all. And it was apparent this year that it was just not going to come together in a way that would satisfy me. So I just called it off. We'll try one more time next year to get Bleak Sunday rolling. And I'll talk more about that in the future. I don't need to talk about that right now, but we'll try one more time. I would really like to make it a tradition, but if it's going to happen, it's got to be done well, done right, and it has to be for the viewer. It has to be a treat for you to watch it, and it really needs to be a special thing for Halloween. And if we can do that, then we'll have the third Bleak Sunday next year. If it doesn't come together next year, then we'll just say, okay, it was a nice experiment for 2 years. I'm glad we did it those 2 years, but maybe it's just not meant to be going forward. But we'll try it again next year and we'll see what happens. And I'll talk more about that in the future. The other program note, you might notice I haven't promoted a giveaway. I really like the big Halloween giveaway. Of course, it makes me feel like Silver Shamrock doing the big giveaway on Halloween. But this year, I wasn't feeling it, as the kids say. I wasn't feeling it. And I looked at the stuff I had to give away, the items available, my selection of things to give away, and I wasn't satisfied. I thought I wanted better choices to present as big giveaway items. So I'm going to move it to the holidays, to December. We'll have a Christmas season giveaway. And that'll give me a little more time to come up with something more interesting to offer for the giveaway. And but we will have a giveaway. It's not like Bleak Sunday where I'll just say, ah, forget it. We'll have a giveaway, but it'll be the holiday season, Christmas season, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's when we'll do it. And I really want to come up with an item or two that's special. And the stuff that I was looking at over the past few weeks as possibilities, they just weren't special enough. I want something a little more interesting to offer you. So we'll try that. We won't try it. We'll do it. We'll do the giveaway for the Christmas season. And hopefully, whatever it is, you'll get it in time for Christmas. Okay, so those are my program notes. After Halloween, as I always do, I will take a week or two off. I always do that after Halloween. So next Saturday, there won't be an episode. But you're getting two of them this week. And then we'll come back, and then I'll talk a little bit about what this season is going to be like. You might notice I haven't been referring to the season, and I haven't been putting season headings in the titles. And there's a reason for that. This season is going to be a little different, and the scheduling is going to be a little different. Things are going to be a little different by necessity. And we'll talk more about that. But I've got some projects I'll be working on. So my schedule will be a little bit irregular, or maybe a lot irregular. And that's going to affect the scheduling of the program. But we'll talk about that in November. Okay, now I wanted to do some show and tell. I really haven't gotten a whole lot this Halloween season. Let's look at this. So I went to Target at the start of the Halloween season, and everyone was talking about this knockoff Shock Monster. This is from Target, and obviously it's inspired by their Shock Monster. Let's see, can I make it light up? How do you do that? Oh, okay, right there. Here we go, see if it lights up. There we go. That's entertainment. Now you're glad you tuned in. It's got wires and things that I'm sure will go wrong in short order. It's not rubber, I don't think. It feels like vinyl. I'm not sure what this stuff is. It's double layered. The outer layer might be rubber, but I think it's vinyl. It's cool. I mean, it's a very, very crude. Look at the way it's sculpted, like very hastily with a knife. It's just kind of carved out of a hunk of clay. This was the only, brand name, the name of this line is Hyde, as in Mr. Hyde, Hyde and Eek. Hyde and Eek. This is called Light Up Zombie Mask. Hyde and Eek, Light Up Zombie Mask. It's obviously inspired by Shock Monster. I mean, they're wearing that on their sleeve. And that was the only really cool thing that I found at a Target. But I know the rest of the world is excited about this. Don't call it a jack-o'-lantern. This animatronic pumpkin man that lights up and talks. And the reason everyone got excited was he has a line where he says, I am not a jack-o'-lantern. My name is Lewis. And I see a bunch of memes about Lewis on social media. And I know that news shows have had a Lewis on the show. And it went viral because of that one quirky line that it says. But it's really kind of a boring animatronic. It doesn't do anything, because it's got a pumpkin head and it lights up and just says some Halloween lines. And the only one that's really sassy or quirky is just that one where he says, "My name is Lewis." The rest are just ordinary kind of, you know, Halloween dialogue. He doesn't move or lean over or do anything. He just stands there and just his head, everything's in his head. It lights up, and I don't think he has any mouth motion. It's just a light. So it's really basic. But because it has that weird line, "I am not a jack-o'-lantern, my name is Lewis," that quirky line, it went viral on social media, and it sold out all over the country. All the Target stores are sold out of Lewis. That's not his official name. I don't know what the official product name is. That's the name the product chose to call itself. It's a self-aware Halloween decoration, and it's informed all of us that its name is Lewis. And I know people just think it's adorable, and they're all excited about it. I'm sure I saw Lewis when I went to Target, when I bought that bootleg Shockmaster. But it had not yet gone viral, and I probably just walked right past her. I looked at it and said, okay, that's nice, and just kept on going. It didn't make, I'm sure I saw it, but it didn't make any impression on me. That's not something I'd be interested in. I don't buy any kind of animatronics these days, but certainly not those big ones like that. I don't even have a 12-foot skeleton. You'd think I'd have one of those, and this is the last year for that. But no, I don't even have one of those. The neighborhood I live in, it really wouldn't work to put one of those outside. It just wouldn't go over very well. There's no point. I don't really need that, some huge box with a 12-foot skeleton in it taking up space in the basement here. I'm glad it exists, and you know, it's cool that Halloween still has enough cultural relevance that we get stuff like that, and that something like this Lewis can go viral and be popular. Anything that promotes Halloween is something I approve of. Let's see what else I got. This just came in the mail. This is the NECA Remco style Phantom of the Opera. He glows in the dark. I don't have the regular version yet. I haven't got him yet. But I got this. And of course, that's modeled off of the 1980 Remco Mini Monsters Phantom of the Opera. And the card looks just like the Remco card. And the figure, I mean, it's much more detailed than the original one. There's the back of the card. And they've announced Dracula. He'll be an online exclusive. And this is also an exclusive. I think this was a convention exclusive, but you could get it online. And I like that he has a vinyl cape. I was looking at the regular NECA Phantom at a store, but the boxes were beat up, so I didn't buy one. If I find one in a nice box, of course I'll buy it. And this card looks like it's kind of distressed, but that's printed that way. It's got that the scratches and wear and tear that's printed on the card. It's meant to look distressed like that. So that's cool. The only one I don't have is Dracula, which they haven't released yet. I've got all the other Remco style NECA figures. And as I've said before, these bubbles, I just don't think these bubbles are going to last. They're going to pop off. These figures are so heavy. I feel like it's almost going to fall off in front of me. But it's cool. I'm glad that I've been able to get them as they've come out and not had to buy them on the secondary market. I would be concerned about buying this on the secondary market because of the bubbles, really. I'm sure these bubbles are going to fall off. So as long as I can keep it fun and not pay very much, it's nice to have them. And if the bubbles fall off, well, you know, oh well. But I'd hate to be in a situation where I missed them at retail and had to pay hundreds of dollars to get one, you know, secondhand a couple years from now, and then have the bubble fall off. I'll save that. Oh, here we go. I have some notes here. What are we? Okay. Okay, here's a really cool item. This is from a store called At Home. It's kind of like a Bed Bath & Beyond kind of a store. I've never been inside of one. The nearest one where I live is a long drive, and I don't need to drive for an hour just to see a Bed Bath & Beyond. Just so I can look at a picked over Halloween section. But I do understand from things I've seen online, they had a pretty decent Halloween section this year. And they really went big on Frankenstein. And this is a Frankenstein doll that they sold at the At Home store this year. Look at that. What a sad little Frankie. Aww. He has a sort of Hammer-esque vibe. Kind of reminds me of a Hammer take on the character. He's tall and he's heavy. Now, he's not a toy. He is basically a decoration. I'd call him a doll, but I mean, he's intended to be a decoration, and you'd have your live, laugh, love At Home store Halloween decor with your pumpkins and fall festivities and whatever. And then you'd set him or stand him or sit him down. He's posable. And he'd be part of your Halloween decoration. So he's not really a toy. And he's kind of fragile. I think he's made of resin. I think if you knocked him, he'd break. So no, he's not for playing with. But he's well made, though. He is well made. That's the original price. There he goes. That's the original price. And like I said, I had not been to an At-Home store myself, so I didn't buy this myself. A friend named Eric Griffin bought this for me. Eric Griffin. He watches the show, and he's a member of the Basement of Horror Facebook group. And we were talking about this in the group, and I was saying I didn't have one, and he bought one and sent it to me. Thank you, Eric. I've told him thank you before, but I'll say it again. Thank you for this gift. I appreciate it. It does mean a lot to have gifts from viewers, because it tells me I'm doing something right. I don't see, well, I see the view numbers, but sometimes it's hard to really gauge what people like or don't like, or if I'm reaching anybody. So it's nice when people show that the program has touched them in some way. And you can see this right here. It says Halloween decor. So that's what this guy is. He's, you know, he's not supposed to be a toy to play with. He's supposed to be decoration. But he's really substantial. And yes, he's got wires. You can bend them and pose them. I'm not going to do that, but I've seen pictures of other people posing theirs. It's a really neat, generic, unlicensed Halloween Frankenstein. He has a really sad, dramatic face. He's got sort of a Hammer-style costume. It's an unexpected little thing. I like this 100 times more than Lewis. Sorry, Lewis. This Frankenstein is much more my speed than Lewis. Yeah, I wouldn't, even though Lewis has gone way up in value, and I'm sure he'll go right back down again, I wouldn't trade that Frankenstein for a Lewis. Okay, so let's see these guys. Now, Trick or Treat Studios has a lot of offerings right now, or at least they did. A lot of it sold out. These have sold out. So these are licensed Universal Monsters blow mold candy pails. And they are sold out everywhere. Here's the Frankie. Yeah, it's pretty neat, isn't it? It looks great. Kind of has an Azrak Hamway look because of the color. Pretty cool, I think. And yes, he does have a handle, a strap in there. Now we come to the creature. Got a little situation with the creature. So there's the creature. Blow mold candy pail. Halloween bucket. It's really beautifully sculpted. It's a lovely creature. But mine has an issue. And it arrived this way. Now, I didn't buy him direct from Trick or Treat Studios. I bought him from a retailer because Trick or Treat was sold out. Everybody was sold out. And there was only one retailer seemed in the world that still had any of these left. So I bought it from that retailer. And it arrived like this. The rivet popped out. The rivets are in two halves. And I'll show you a picture of them. You see how those are constructed? They're two halves that snap together. And I have the two halves. I went online and I went to some craft stores looking for a crimping tool to snap the rivet back. I couldn't find anything that seemed like an appropriate tool for this. So, it's interesting that this is Frankenstein. His rivets are a lot tighter than this one. I don't know what's going on. So I emailed the company, the retailer I bought this from, right away. And I never heard back from them. So I don't know. I mean, some people say, why don't you return it? Well, I mean, they're sold out, so I won't. It's not like I'll get another one. If I had bought it direct from Trick or Treat Studios, I think I would try to see what I could do. You know, maybe they would have a reserve, but I don't know if this retailer would have a reserve. And you know, I did email them, and they didn't respond. So that makes me very skeptical that I would get any satisfaction if I continue to pursue it. And they probably, at best, if they did anything at all, would say, send it back and, you know, we'll give you a refund. Would they give me a refund if they're not even responding to my emails? Do I trust them to give me a refund? And then I don't, and then I have to pay for the shipping. And since I paid retail for this, the shipping is like half the price of the bucket. So, and then I'll have a few bucks, like, you know, back, but I'll have no bucket. So I'm not sure what to do. If I could get one of those crimping tools, I would try to pop let's see if you can see in there. There's this little tag, and down at the bottom there, you can see one of them at least. Yeah, there, you can see them. Those are the rivets. I try to pop it back, see if I can get it snap in place. I don't know. So that's disappointing. And I think the reason that it popped like that, these straps are very stiff. There's not a lot of flexibility. And I think you saw, I'm not going to pull it back out again, but you saw at the end is sort of twisted. And I think that put pressure on the rivet. Pressure in the wrong direction that popped it apart. So even if I snapped it back, it might just pop apart again. I don't know. So that's disappointing. I do want a nice one of these. I'm not going to pay some huge, you know, collector premium. If I can get one close to retail, I'll do it. But there's, you know, they're all, the prices are already going up. I don't know if it was like that at the warehouse, or if it was, or if it, that happened in transit and shipping, if it got bumped around. I don't know. Well, I got one more thing to show. I was gonna say something about trick or treat. But let's Good grief. What a fragile thing. This is one of the few vintage items I've got recently this Halloween season. This is a Van Damme vintage quasi creature from the Black Lagoon. It's obviously not the creature from the Black Lagoon, but what interests me is that more than a creature knockoff, it really is a Topstone Lagoon monster knockoff. It's obviously inspired by the Keith Ward Topstone Lagoon monster. It looks a lot more like the Lagoon monster than it does Universal creature. I've never seen a genuine Topstone vacuform plastic Lagoon monster. It probably exists. They made plastic versions of most of those Keith Ward masks. But I've never seen a genuine Lagoon monster. So this is the closest thing for now. This is probably from the same era as the Topstone mask. A vintage, the company's name is Van Damme. Vintage Van Damme. Whatever they called this sea creature, but I will call it the Lagoon Monster. And look at the detail, like those little pupils in its eyes. It's very fragile. And it's got a lot of cracks, unfortunately. Tiny little cracks. And you can just hear it crackling as you handle it. A lot of these vintage vacuform masks are like that. They've got lots of cracks. Ooh, gosh. I wish there was a way to... A collector-friendly way to seal up these cracks. I mean, if you can put tape, but that's not really considered appropriate. I have done that. Like when I had the Topstone display at Mask Fest in 2012, I had a big display of Topstone masks. Some of the plastic Topstones I displayed in that exhibit, I did reinforce with Gorilla Tape around the edges because they were cracking. So for the sake of display, so they'd be sturdy to transport and set up and take down, I put tape on them. But I generally wouldn't do that. With a rubber mask, you can foam it. For some reason, that's permissible. But with a plastic mask, if you do anything to it, it's sort of not quite kosher. So I wish there was an acceptable way to preserve those, maybe some sort of archival tape. I have worked with archival tape, but it doesn't really stick. But something, I don't know what it would be, something that you could put on the back of those things to seal up the cracks and reinforce it and stabilize it. Okay, so I think that's all my show and tell. Okay, let's talk about Trick or Treat Studios. All right, so we had those buckets. Now, if it's probably all, by the time you see this, already too late. But if there's anything licensed by Universal Studios that Trick or Treat Studios carries, any of their Universal stuff, and that includes Halloween 3, Halloween 2. A lot of their items certainly includes Universal Monsters. If there's anything like that you want, you need to buy it quickly. And I don't know up to the minute what the status of the situation is, but as of a couple of weeks ago, they were ending their licensing agreement. Trick or Treat was ending its licensing agreement with Universal Studios, and I won't get into the why of it, but there's some disputes there about who owns the rights to what, and I'm not going to get into that. But there's a disagreement between those two parties, and the result is Trick or Treat is not going to be carrying, I guess, all of its licensed Universal Studios products, which is a big deal because that's a huge chunk of what of their current licensed offerings. A lot of them are Universal licenses. So if there's anything you want, get it now while you can. And I don't know if they still have some things that they've announced that are still going to come out, but if they do, jump on it. Don't say, I'll get that one of these days. Get it as soon as it's available, because you probably won't get another chance. And that's why I got these, and that's why I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a replacement Creature, because they're sold out everywhere, and prices, people know what's going on with the licensing, so the prices are going up. And, you know, that's too bad how that situation's going, because Trick or Treat has a lot of nice Universal licensed merchandise. So it's too bad how that's unfolding. There was a toy show. Okay, so now I'm going to start talking about some of the items that have been announced. Like, this is my take on some of these monster items that have been announced lately. And I'm going to just steal a bunch of photos off the internet to show you what I'm talking about. So I don't own any of these photos that you are going to look at. And I don't even know where most of them came from. I just Googled and just whatever. So I apologize if I accidentally use somebody's exclusive photo that no one else is supposed to use. I don't think I'm going to... I mean, I haven't done it yet because I haven't edited this thing yet. I'm not expecting that to happen, but if it does, I apologize in advance. But as I sit here, I don't even know yet what photos I'm going to use, so I can't really even give credit right now. I don't. You're seeing photos. I don't even know what you're seeing, because this is all going to happen after the fact when I'm editing this. But just know I don't own any of these photos. But there was a big toy trade show a few weeks ago, and there's a lot of stuff announced at that trade show. A lot of first looks at some, you know, not some, a lot of merchandise from different companies. And on the topic of Trick or Treat, I think the thing that really interested me most of all was a Beast of Blood action figure. It's an 8-inch Mego style action figure. And I did see some, I guess, pre-production photos of this thing in progress. And it looks great. It looks great. I'm excited about that. I hope that makes it to market and I can get my hands on one. I'm a big Blood Island fan, and we're going to talk about that in a minute as well. I'm a big Blood Island fan, and one day I'll do a episode on Blood Island. So it's really nice to have a licensed, official, factory-made Blood Island Beast of Blood figure. I've got a custom Beast of Blood, and that's nice. But it's really cool to have a factory-made official action figure. And next to the Beast of Blood, they showed a Shock Monster figure. And this Shock Monster is based on Justin Mabry's sculpt of the Shock Monster, which I don't know what year that came out, but it's been out there for a long time. So it's not Keith Ward's sculpt, it's Justin Mabry's interpretation of the Shockmaster, but it also looks really cool, and I'm happy to see, just like Beast of Blood, some official factory-made Topstone characters, because Trick or Treat Studios bought Topstone. They owned Topstone, all the associated IPs. They own it now. They are Topstone. So this is the first official licensed, I guess they don't, it's not licensed if the company that owns the IP makes it, but you know what I mean. It's the first official Topstone action figure. And I hope we see a few more. I can imagine all the different ones they could make. But we'll see what happens. I guess some of that's riding on how well this initial one does. And I hope we see more Blood Island figures. I would love to see a whole host of the whole rogues gallery of Blood Island monsters and villains. But we'll see how the Beast of Blood does, if that sells. So those were the things I was excited about, those two figures. But of course, Trick or Treat Studios had just dozens and dozens of other great horror items, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre figures and Terrifier figures, and there was a 12-inch Dr. Loomis from Halloween and a 12-inch Hammer Christopher Lee Dracula. So they're going to make Hammer licensed 12-inch articulated action figures. NECA also displayed a Hammer Dracula, but we'll get to that in a second. So Trick or Treat Studios has a whole host of things. That's besides the masks, which are their bread and butter. That's what they're known for. They have plenty of masks on display too, but they're going all in on toys and action figures. Now, I mentioned NECA. Do I want to get into NECA? I don't know. Well, why not? Because we're talking about that toy fair. So I showed you the Remco Phantom that I just got, and they're coming out with Remco Dracula soon. And there's a new magazine called Toy Collector that, as a cover story, announced NECA was coming out with a Remco Monsterizer scaled for these 7-inch Ultimates action figures, like the Phantom I just showed you. They're going to make a Monsterizer scale to those figures. And that was announced in this magazine, Toy Collector, which I've never heard of before. I think this might be the first issue, or I'm not sure. I don't really know. But it was a big scoop. This magazine got the scoop on this new Monsterizer. So that's cool. And, you know, they're coming out with, well, they've already come out with the Bride of Frankenstein, Phantom. I don't know if we're waiting on any of that 7-inch Ultimates Universal line. I think they've all hit retail. All the ones that they announced, I think, have hit retail. I don't have them all. I'm still missing a couple, but I think they're all out there. And on the way, they have London After Midnight and Nosferatu. And at this toy fair, they announced a really nice-looking Hammer Dracula in that same scale, that Ultimates scale. With it's not like the Mego 8-inch retro cloth. It's slightly smaller with sculpted plastic clothes, some soft goods, like I'm sure the cape will be fabric, but the jacket would be some kind of PVC. And I prefer the Mego style. I wish they were doing that. Maybe they'll do that in the future. But they're really on a roll with this Ultimates line, which is all PVC, very limited soft goods. And that's what this Hammer Dracula will be. So both Trick or Treat and NECA are both doing Hammer figures. And that's good. I'm happy to see finally some licensed Hammer action figures. Mego did a few, and they kind of dropped the ball because they were so close to having a basically complete hammer set Mego with their 8-inch line, and they had a hiccup with that Gorgon, and they had a sculpt they showed for the Baron Frankenstein Peter Cushing, but then they never released the toy, and they said there was some issue with the rights to Curse of the Werewolf, which is a major character. And they were going to do, they had talked about a couple other figures that never came out. So it's disappointing that Hammer line sort of collapsed. They were so close to coming in for a landing on that, and then they didn't stick the landing. At the very end there, with the last couple key characters, they just couldn't get them out. We'll see what NECA does. Hopefully they'll have better luck, better consistency, and we'll have a full line of all the major characters from NECA. And in the 12-inch scale, we'll see what Trick or Treat Studios does. Let's see here. Oh, and NECA at this toy fair. And this toy fair, like, what am I talking about? It's a big annual trade show. It's in New York every year. I thought it was in February, but maybe they changed the schedule. I don't know, but it's a big toy trade show where all the toy manufacturers show their stuff and retailers see what's available. And I guess they can take orders at the toy fair, at the trade show. So that's where all these companies showed off their new stuff for the coming year. And at that toy fair, NECA showed some Ben Cooper figures. These are little kids wearing Ben Cooper costumes. Now, a lot of collectors have cried foul because they resemble some custom figures made by Alexander Jeftik. I just always call him Alexander, so I never actually had to say his last name out loud. Alexander Jeftik. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It could be Jeftik or something like that, but I don't know. Alexander Jeftik, that's how it's spelled. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. But he makes little custom Mego-style kids wearing Ben Cooper costumes, and he's been doing that for a few years. And he's known for that, among other things that he makes. So a lot of people cried foul, say NECA's ripping him off. And maybe they are. Maybe that's where they got the idea. I don't know. I'm sure they're aware of what's going on with the custom toy market. Of course, Alexander doesn't own that idea. And apparently NECA does have some kind of licensing access to Ben Cooper through their licensing deals. They're authorized to make official Ben Cooper stuff. So these are official. Now, they did say that the individual characters are not licensed, even though they've got the Creature from the Black Lagoon and the Mummy and Frankenstein. They said that the original Ben Cooper costumes were also not licensed. That's not true. They were. At least the particular ones that these little figures that are making the costumes they're based on, I own those costumes, those boxed costumes. They were licensed back in their day. Yes, Ben Cooper made several Frankensteins that were not licensed, but they also made licensed ones, and they made licensed Mummy, even though he didn't really look like the Mummy. But for sure, Creature from the Black Lagoon was a licensed costume. Absolutely. Back in the day. So I don't know. But, you know, NECA, of course, they have all kinds of licensing agreements with Universal. So maybe that smooths all that out. I don't know. Let's see, what else can we say about NECA? Well, do I want to get into this? Oh, boy. Okay. So I'm just giving you my observations on monster toy stuff that's going on right now in the Halloween season. That's the theme here. All right, so Dr. Chalice, Halloween 3, Tom Atkins, Dr. Chalice. Okay, there was a convention in Pasadena, which is where much of the original Halloween was shot in Pasadena. There was a convention, Halloween 45th anniversary convention a few weeks ago. And an exclusive at this convention was a NECA Tom Atkins Dr. Chalice action figure from Halloween 3. And Tom Atkins was there making an appearance to autograph the boxes for these action figures. It was limited to 1,000 figures and exclusive to that convention. There wasn't any online availability. You couldn't, if you were not at the convention, you couldn't buy it online. It was just at the convention. And predictably, it sold out like that. And within 24 hours, they were on eBay, and prices on eBay instantly jumped into the 300 plus range. They were selling for $300 to $600 each instantly. There wasn't any ramping up. It was like the next day, just boom. Because people knew how limited these things were. And it was very predictable. Of course, that was going to happen. No surprise there. I was very upset with NECA, as were a lot of people. They had put out the Halloween 3 kids, the three kids in the mask. They put out a set of those a few years earlier. And they had dropped some hints that maybe Dr. Chalice was in the works. They didn't announce him, but in interviews and things, they hinted a little bit. And there was a lot of rumors that he was going to come out. And definitely he was highly requested. A lot of people wanted Dr. Chalice to accompany those kids. And a Cochran, the villain of the movie, a Cochran figure would have also been very nice. But particularly wanted Dr. Chalice. So it was high demand, very much requested, very much desired among the fans, the customers, the people who had bought the three kids wanted Dr. Chalice to go with it. A few years pass, the figure doesn't materialize, and then we find out that, oh yes, they're going to make it, but it's only 1,000 at this one convention in Pasadena, and you have to be there to buy it. Wow. Thanks a lot. That's great. I was very upset because I'm not going to buy a plane ticket and hotel and rental car and tickets to the convention and spend $1,500 or whatever to make the trip to this convention. I mean, I like Halloween, but not enough to go to a convention like that. Now, if it was a Blood Island convention, there you go. Maybe it was like a Topstone anniversary convention or something like that. Okay, now, but for Halloween, I like Halloween a lot. Halloween the original, 1978, and Halloween 3, those are my favorites from that series. I really like those two movies. I'm okay with Halloween 2. That's okay. The rest of the series ranges from terrible to okay. But the only ones that I really, really like are number 1 and number 3. And as a courtesy, we'll go ahead and include number 2 along with them. But really, it's number 1 and number 3 that I really like. But not enough to go to this convention. I was, as were a lot of people, I was upset. I felt like you do not take the main character, the hero of the movie, who has been requested and is in demand and is highly desired by your customer base, and make him an exclusive figure at a convention that only a few people can make it in person to go there and buy it. It just seemed like a raw deal. It seemed like a bad move. Now, I want to say I was not angry at Sean Clark. Who's Sean Clark? He's really cool guy. He's got his hands on a lot of things. A lot of things in the horror community. And he's the one who really organized this figure. I mean, he organized the convention, but he also organized with NECA this figure and got it off the ground, got it made. And I applaud that. I'm not upset at him for orchestrating this and getting a really cool exclusive for his convention. I'm upset with NECA for handling it that way. NECA should have put out that figure a few years earlier. And if they weren't going to do that, they should have made him available online at the same time as the convention, made some quantity available online. They didn't do that. If they were going to do a convention exclusive, then don't make the hero the convention exclusive, the main character. Make like a Dick Warlock android or something like that a convention exclusive. That makes sense. But the main guy... But, I mean, some people just collect John Carpenter NECA figures. That's something I do. I particularly focus on the John Carpenter characters. So now you've got a major John Carpenter character that's unavailable. That kind of sours you on collecting the rest. But, again, I want to stress, I'm not upset at Sean Clark. I understand he just wanted a cool... exclusive for his convention, and maybe if not for him, maybe NECA would never have made this. It's kind of stupid not to make the toy, but maybe the only reason they made it was because of him putting the deal together. Maybe they were never going to do it otherwise. I don't know. But my problems with NECA, and usually I'm a NECA cheerleader. I'm all big on NECA most of the time. So I'm not, you don't hear me criticize NECA very often, but I'm very critical of how this went down. Now, then there's a new wrinkle. About 24 hours ago, NECA posted this Dr. Chalice figure on their website as being available to buy online after people had been paying hundreds of dollars for it on eBay. It was $75, and it was essentially the same figure, same box. The ones at the convention had a little silver shamrock sticker. The ones on the NECA website have a silver shamrock coaster signed by Tom Atkins. But it's essentially the same toy. And it was a limit of two per customer, two per household. I did buy one with shipping and tax. It was $91. So not cheap, but better than $200-$400 on eBay. So it's great that they finally did that and made it available. It sold out in 24 hours. They didn't announce an edition size or tell you how many total that were available or anything like that. They just put it out there. And no one really knew how long they had to buy it. If they could, I mean, I'm not taking any chances. I just pounced on it and bought it, as I think most people did. And it sold out. Some communication would be nice to say we've made 500 of these available on our website or something like that. No, nothing like that. So I'm looking at this situation. I don't know if that was their plan all along to put some on the website. I don't know if they were responding to outcry from their customers to make this available. I don't know if they had leftover stock from, because to manufacture a figure like that at a quantity of 1,000, how many do they really have to make at the factory to get that 1,000, I would think they need to make more than 1,000 just to crank up the assembly line and get it moving. They probably made more than 1,000 in the first place. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be back. It's sold out right now. But of course, you know, no communication, no word on any of this. They could have just done that in the first place. I was going to say no one would be complaining. That's not true, but it would have helped a lot if that weekend of the convention they had just put that thing online, like they finally ended up doing anyway. And people at least would have had an opportunity to get it. If they couldn't be at the convention, didn't want to be at the convention, they had another way to get it. And then if it sold out, okay, but at least you had a chance. They didn't do that. Everyone got upset. Now I'm wondering how people feel if they spent hundreds of dollars on the convention one on eBay, and now this thing's available, or at least it was. I checked the prices on eBay, and I saw they they went down to about $150. But now that this thing's sold out again, it could just go right back up. I don't know. It's not, you know, just put the toy out. My gosh. It's a toy people want. They've been asking for it for years. Just put the toy out, for goodness sakes. Don't play games. Just give them the toy, for crying out loud. Okay, so that's a bunch of NECA drama. Oh, what else can we say? Let's see here. Well, so I was talking about Blood Island a little while ago. There's a Kickstarter related to Blood Island. This company called Drive Insanity, which schedules screenings at drive-ins of Blood Island movies like Beast of Blood or Mad Doctor of Blood Island, also other independent international movies. That's a distribution company owned by Sam Sherman, and he's got the rights to Dracula versus Frankenstein and a lot of other cool stuff, Al Adamson movies and Blood Island movies. So Drive Insanity, they did a Kickstarter a couple years ago with all this new Blood Island merchandise, and the whole point was trying to get a Blood Island comic book off the ground. Brian Usna, who produced Reanimator and directed Bride of Reanimator, directed and produced a lot of horror movies over the years, he put his name and his face to this operation. And part of the spiel was that they're going to try to make a new movie, a Blood Island movie. But for now, they're really pushing this Tales of Blood Island comic book series. And every time they want to do a new issue of this comic book, they do a Kickstarter. Well, they did issue one, which I've got. I participated in the Kickstarter last time, and I participated again this time. I didn't order a comic book, though. Not this time. I ordered a game. They have a boxed drinking game. It looks like an authentic vintage game. They did a good job with the artwork and the packaging and everything. I ordered that, and I also ordered two glasses. They have a larger glass and then a smaller, I guess it's a shot glass, a big glass and a little glass. And the reason I ordered the glasses, they remind me of the old Pizza Hut glasses, you know, or the Burger Chef glasses, those old character glasses that you got in the 70s. That's why I wanted them. I would have bought more from that Kickstarter, but it's so expensive. The shipping is through the roof, and the way it's organized, you have to buy what they call a reward. It's Kickstarter, so there are levels, and each level has a reward. You have to buy a reward package, and then you can have add-ons. You can't just a la carte say, I want this, I want this, I want this, put together what you want and buy it. That'd be nice. It'd be nice if they just had an online store year-round and just buy what you want. But no, they do these Kickstarters, and it gets really expensive really fast. Even just that game, those two glasses, that was expensive. So he had a beach towel I would have liked to have bought. And I already have one of their tiki mugs, Beast of Blood tiki mugs. I have a green one. I would have liked to have bought a purple one. And you know, there's other stuff. If it were not priced so through the roof, I would have bought more stuff. As it is, I spent more than I was really comfortable spending anyway, but oh well. I didn't buy a comic book because I don't care about the comic book. I like the original Blood Island movies. And the further they get away from the original movies, the less interested I get. I mean, it's nice they're doing this comic book if it gets us some merchandise, cool. But the comic books go into, at least the two they've made so far, they go into these weird directions and they get away from the movie. And they just start to make up their own story, their own characters, their own monsters. I don't know why they need to do that, since the original film series has so many great creatures and characters. It's all there. Why do you need to make up new stuff? Just, it's the universe of those original films is right there. There's the four official Blood Island movies, but then there's also sort of an extended universe of movies that kind of connect with them, like a couple of vampire movies and the Blood Island movies. I'm just going to get into a whole thing about Blood Island, but Blood Island movies were shot in the Philippines. They were produced by Hemisphere Pictures, which is, their films are now owned by Independent International, Sam Sherman's company. But the Blood Island movies, they were a Filipino film series shot in the Philippines. In addition to those four movies, which were all sort of Island of Dr. Moreau knockoffs, basically. In addition to those four, there are two vampire movies and a U.S. Hollywood shot movie called Brain of Blood, which is generally, it's sort of like the extended universe of Blood Island. They're not officially Blood Island, but they're, you know, sort of Blood Island. They're Blood Island adjacent. Now, between those seven movies, there's so many characters and creatures. I don't know why you'd need to go outside that for anything. The comic book series has like Fiji mermaids and zombies and this creature called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, an Aswang. Aswang, which is like that head with the intestines attached, and it eats babies. I think the traditional mythology of the creature is that it eats babies. But this, none of that's in the Blood Island film series, so whatever. I'm just. If the comic book came with the other stuff I bought, great. Maybe I'll buy the second issue later. Like, I'm sure they'll have another Kickstarter next year, the year after, when they want to do a third issue. Maybe I'll catch up with the comic book then. I don't know. But I'm really more interested in the movies and merchandise related to the films. But, you know, if this comic book gets us all this other stuff, that's great. And if you enjoy the comic book, fantastic. I enjoy all the new Blood Island merchandise, which we've never had before. And I don't see anybody else except Trick or Treat Studios. I don't see anyone else tripping over themselves to make Blood Island merchandise. So it's good that we have this stuff. I wish it wasn't so expensive, and I wish they just had an online store year round where you could just order this stuff, no Kickstarter or whatever. Just order it. Just here's what's available. Here's the price. Put it in your cart, and then here's the total shipping. And just order it, buy it, and then they could use the profits from that to finance the comic book, and they could have the comic book for sale in the store. Okay, whatever. Now, kind of adjacent to that is Monster General Store. Monster General Store, it's a collaboration between Dan Roebuck and Chuck Williams and Brent Sorensen, Brent's Dolls. Brent's Dolls is a custom toy company, kind of like Distinctive Dummies. I've talked about them. Brent's Dolls is similar to that. And I mentioned Alexander a while ago, similar operation. And so Dan Roebuck, he's a very well-known actor, character actor. He's a monster kid. I do know him. And I've been friends with him many years, and I like to support whatever he does. He's got a horror host character called Dr. Shocker, and his sidekick is Igor. Igor is played by Chuck Williams. And now they've teamed up with Brent's Dolls to make this online store, just like I was talking about a minute ago, like I think Drive Insanity should do. They've got an online store called Monster General Store, and they've got some Rob Zombie authorized merchandise. But the big selling point right now, they have four Mego style action figures on Azrak Hamway inspired pink cards. And two of those characters in this action figure series are based on the movie Dracula versus Frankenstein, which is an Al Adamson directed film that was released by Independent International and is now owned by Sam Sherman. And Drive Insanity, that does the Blood Island Kickstarter, they also distribute Dracula versus Frankenstein. You can book that to play in a drive-in through Drive Insanity, and Dan Roebuck has done promos for Drive Insanity. So that's the connection with what's Dan Roebuck got to do with Dracula versus Frankenstein. That's the connection. He's helped promote the Drive Insanity screenings of that film. So this series of four figures, it's got Dracula and Frankenstein from the movie, and it's also got Dr. Shocker and Igor, these two horror hosts. I've wanted, and they're all, it's all licensed, it's all official. They're custom toys, though they're not factory made, they're custom toys, but it's all official authorized stuff. And I've wanted official authorized Dracula versus Frankenstein figures for a long time. So I'm happy these things exist. I have not bought them because mainly price. And I don't mean Vincent Price, I mean dollars. They're $89.99 each. That's a lot of money. And if you're going to buy, I wouldn't buy just like Dracula or Frankenstein. I would buy both. So that's $180. $180. That's a lot of money. And they've put them all together in this set with Dr. Shocker and Igor, so really it's a set of four. So that's $360. Otherwise, you've got half the set. Most people are going to want to buy Dracula and Frankenstein, of course. That movie has the notoriety and the nostalgia value and the broader appeal. But if you're a completist, the card has four characters on it, so if you only got two of them, you've only got half the set. But that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I have a feeling I'm going to break down and buy the Dracula and Frankenstein at some point if they remain available. I'm not happy with the costume on Dracula. It's based on the Xandor Vorkoff Dracula from Dracula versus Frankenstein, and it's a very cool sort of hippie Dracula. The whole movie is kind of a hippie movie, and that Dracula's very distinctive. He's got an afro, and his makeup changes through the film, but it's very Halloween-y kind of makeup. And his, I don't think he has a red lining in his cape. He definitely does not have a tuxedo. He's got a black shirt, and it's hard to tell exactly what it looks like because it's black on black on black, but it looks like it's just a button-up shirt and with a high collar. And that's makes him look the way he looks. That's part of the look of that Dracula. He doesn't look like Bela Lugosi with the tuxedo and the tie and all that. But this figure has a Bela Lugosi-style tuxedo and a red-lined cape. And I don't like that. I don't like that. So if I were going to buy a pair of these figures, I would contact Brent and see if I could get a special custom order with a Dracula with a black shirt instead of a tuxedo or a black cape. I don't know if that's possible. For $90, seems like it could be possible, but probably would. Well, these things seem to be made to order anyway. They're not like in stock and ready to go out. It's, according to the website, it takes a few weeks. So as long as they're kind of made to order in the first place, maybe they could be customized a little bit. But I'd like to, if I get one, I'd like to see that Dracula costume reflect what's in the movie a little more closely. I think the idea was to make it look like an Azrak Henway Dracula, which does have the tuxedo and the red line. Well, not a red line cape, it has a red line collar, or kind of a, like, more like a hood, really. So I think they were kind of going for that. But I really want it to look like the movie character, if possible. But yeah, it's exciting just to have the first licensed Dracula versus Frankenstein toys. It would be cool if like Trick or Treat Studios, as long as they're dealing with Independent International with this Beast of Blood figure, maybe they could look into Dracula versus Frankenstein. That's a possibility. But in the meantime, we've got these custom figures. It is a lot of money. I do wish they were more like $40 or $50 each. It's a lot of money. But I'll probably end up breaking down and getting them. I don't know about all four, but the Dracula and the Frankenstein, I think I would get those. So it's cool that they exist. And like I said, I always try to support whatever Dan does. Like sometimes he has crowdfunding for movies. Whenever I can, I try to put some money in to his movie crowdfunding. I just try to generally support what he's doing. And so this is one of his enterprises, and I'd like to support it. Well, let's see what else we got here. Can we say anything about Super 7? Super 7 has a new 3¾-inch Svengoolie and Vampyra figures. So they're getting into horror hosts. And I haven't been buying Super 7 for a while. I sort of walked away from Super 7. They upset me a few times. Finally, I just said, I'm getting aggravated. I'm just going to walk away. And I think I've talked before about some of my unhappiness with Super 7, some of the things they've done. But they might be bringing me back with these horror host figures, because this little Svengoolie, it really, and the Vampyra too, it's two of the best figures they've ever done. They're just little 3¾-inch figures, and I've been very critical about the look of Super 7's 3¾-inch figures. I feel like they don't really understand that vintage Kenner look and what gave it its appeal. But these, they seem to be getting it finally. This Svengoolie and this Vampyra, they look really nice. And the cards, of course, as usual, Super 7, the cards are very dramatic. They always have spectacular artwork on their cards, on their packaging. but usually the artwork is better than the toy itself. In this case, I think the toys are also very charming and very colorful, and they really pop and they have great likenesses. And so I'm very interested in these two figures. I'm very likely to buy the Svengoolie and the Vampyra, and I hope they continue and make Zachary. I really wish they'd do Sinister Seymour, who was my horror host growing up. I watched Sinister Seymour in syndication in the St. Louis area. He was a Los Angeles-based horror host, but he was syndicated. And I would really like to see a licensed, official, authorized Sinister Seymour figure. He might be too obscure, but I don't know if we're going to get a Sinister Seymour, but I wish we would. Okay, let's see. Oh, speaking of Svengoolie, what do you think of the Sven squad, the spawns of Svengoolie? We've got Nostalgia for Ratu, Gwengoolie, and Imp. Fan consensus seems to be they like Nostalgia for Ratu. They generally like Gwengoolie, and they're not too keen on Imp. And I haven't watched very much of the Sven squad. It's only been, they've been active for just the last couple of episodes, but I've seen clips. And you know, Nostalgia for Ratu, he's got charisma. I like him. Gwengoolie, I think she's going to develop and she's going to grow, but she shows a lot of promise. And Imp, it's not a performance. It's I think it's the costume. I wish they would develop that costume. He's just wearing plain clothes, and he's got some little Spirit Halloween horns and some Spirit Halloween bat wings or something attached to his back. It looks like they're maybe attached to his suspenders, perhaps. I don't know. But it's just a blue shirt and suspenders. It's very plain. And maybe if they spruced up his costume, like the other two have fully realized, fully developed costumes, why don't they do that for Imp and make him more of a fantasy character and more complete? I think that would help a lot. But one thing I thought was worth noting, they had this spawn of a Svengoolie publicity campaign for months and months and months, where people were invited to send in their audition video because you could be spawn of Svengoolie. And so for months they've been showing all these people these audition videos from all these different people, and they like put on a costume, put on some makeup, and do a little spiel. And it kind of reminds me of the Face of Horror contest that's been going on for a couple of years, where people ask you to vote for them to be the Face of Horror. I don't get that contest. I've never even thought about entering it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you win, what happens? Do you get a starring role in the next A24 horror movie or something? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you get anything. I don't know what the advantage is. How are you the Face of Horror just because you won a contest? I mean, the Face of Horror right now, I guess it would be like Mia Goth or Art the Clown. Those are the faces of horror right now. So how are you the Face of Horror because you won some contest? It just seems like a kind of scammy. Something's weird about that contest. Well, the Spawn of Svengoolie, I kind of had vibes like that. I didn't enter that, the Spawn of Svengoolie. I thought about it, but I thought, nah, I don't think so. What would I do? I don't have a character or anything. And now I'm even more glad that I didn't, because it's pretty obvious that they were never going to hire any of those people who tried out unless they were professional actors. The three they've got, Nostalgia for Ratu is a professional broadcast television host. Gwengoolie has been in show business for 18 years, according to a press release. she's basically a social media personality. I've watched her YouTube channel. It's, you know, it's pretty good. And she's nothing against her. She's good. She does a good job. Imp has 3 daytime Emmy Awards. He's Emmy Award. That's how professional he is. He's an Emmy Award winning actor. So, I mean, I don't know. I know Nostalgia Ferratu because he was already working for MeTV doing their morning cartoon show. He didn't do an audition video. I'm assuming the other two did. I don't know. But whether they did or not, it's pretty obvious no one was going to get cast on that show unless they were professional working actors with backgrounds in show business, you know, seasoned professionals. They weren't going to get Joe Schmo from Oklahoma somewhere who just sent in a video and say, you are now Spotless Finguli. That was never going to happen. It was a publicity stunt. Just like, you know, when they have some part in a movie and they audition 10,000 people, they put out a press release and they show video of all the people waiting in line to audition for this part in the movie. None of those people are going to get it. It's going to go to an established actor. That's just a publicity stunt. These big open calls, you know, for auditions. It's for publicity. And I'm on some Svengoolie fan groups, and yeah, you know, there's some people have noticed. Yeah, these people, these spawns, they're all professionals. What was the point of that big audition? Oh, well, but yeah, I wish them all best of luck, and they're all good. Even Imp, you just need some, you know, need some development, but they're all good, and I wish them all best of luck. Well, as far as new toys, we could mention Mego because they were at that toy fair. They showed a Krampus and a Christmas Creep from Creepshow and a repackaged Nosferatu. Now, I've stopped collecting Mego for the past year. The last Megos I bought were the Topps Hammer figures. I haven't bought a Mego since then. I just got tired of the toxic atmosphere. The whole culture surrounding Mego became very toxic. And I'm not talking about this person or this side or that side. I mean the whole thing. All sides, everybody. Just the whole thing became very not fun. Very, very not fun. And finally, I just said, "What? Why am I doing this?" And I just walked away. So I'm not actively collecting Mego anymore. And I guess that's a good thing because apparently this Krampus and this Christmas Creep have been postponed. They're Christmas-themed figures, but they won't be out for Christmas. Apparently they'll be out next year. And I don't know what the deal is with this Christmas Creep. It's Creepshow. It's the Creep from Creepshow, but he's in Christmas attire. I'm not sure what the angle is there. And then this Nosferatu, it's just it's a figure they already put out, but it's different card art. I wouldn't say it's particularly, you know, better card art. It's just different card art. It's not the same card art they had before. But I think the Nosferatu figure was particularly popular. I think it was unexpectedly popular. So I can see why they might want to revisit that figure. But it's the same figure, as far as I could tell from the photos I've seen. They didn't change the figure. It was not an upgraded figure. And they've canceled a bunch of characters, but they're not horror monster characters, so I'm not really concerned about that. But yeah, it's kind of a rocky road with Mego right now. That Krampus, Yeah, gosh, I run a Krampus event, an annual Krampus event, where we dress up like Krampus and walk down the street. It's basically a pub crawl with some with a performance element, and I have a Krampus costume. I'm the leader, Krampus, and I ring bells and I have other Christmas horror Christmas characters. There's a Santa who's like a traditional Father Christmas, and there's me, and there's other people dressed as Krampuses and other scary Christmas characters. And we had a big turnout last year. I don't know how many people were there. Over 100 people, maybe a couple hundred people. It was a big turnout. So I'm involved with Krampus, and I've got a little Krampus postcard collection, vintage Krampus postcards. So I like Krampus. This Krampus Mego figure, though, that was disappointing when I saw what that looked like. I don't know what they were thinking. It looks like he's biting off his tongue. His mouth is clenched, and his tongue just looks like it's attached to the outside of his teeth, like he's biting off his tongue. And he's got a Santa jacket, but he's naked and flocked with like flocked fur. But it just doesn't look good. The card art looks good for a change. I don't know where they got that card art. I'm wondering if there's some AI involved with that. I'm not sure. I'm just looking at the texture of the horns and stuff. I'm thinking, it looks like there might be some AI there. But I don't know. Maybe not. But the card art looks good. I'm not sure what's on the back of the card. So that Krampus was the only upcoming figure that was on my radar. I don't think I would buy it. I'm just not happy with how it turned out. Maybe if the actual production examples hit the stores and I saw it in person, maybe I'd feel differently. I don't know. Maybe if I held it in my hand, I'd say, hey, this isn't so bad after all. Maybe I'll buy this. But it's going to miss Christmas, so I don't know when it's going to be available. Sometime next year, I guess. Is it NECA or Trick or Treat Studios? It's NECA. NECA's doing a movie version of Krampus, the Universal movie, and they had a prototype at that toy fair. It's a big old, very detailed movie Krampus. Now that's something I'm excited about. I wish there was a stuffed movie Krampus. Like a big old plush with like a vinyl head, vinyl hands, and then a big stuffed body. And wouldn't that be cool? A big plush movie Krampus from the Universal movie. That would be really neat. Why doesn't someone make that? That'd be cool. We should already have that. It should already be available. I should have it sitting right here, but I don't. Well, I guess that's my rundown of monster horror toys that were either for sale this season or were introduced this season. What's going on in the monster toy world right now? I hope I haven't seemed overly critical. I'm certainly not as critical as some people on YouTube, but I do feel like I'm not here to be a cheerleader. I'm here to be analytical, like a movie critic, and to give you an almost journalistic appraisal of what's going on. So I'm not gonna just say everything's great. I'm gonna tell you what I think, and hopefully not be insulting in the process. I hope I haven't been insulting, but I've been honest what I liked and what I didn't like and why. that's my assessment of Monster Toys right now. I really wish we had more Monster Toys aimed at kids. All of this stuff is for adults. And I'm really... Well, I didn't even get into things like caustic plastic and stuff like that, because that's already sold out anyway. But caustic plastic has a cool Nosferatu 12-inch one that shipped recently. But, you know, you can't get that. It's sold out. So, might as well. No reason to talk about that. But it's pretty good. It's expensive as heck, but it's pretty good. But all this stuff is for adults. And I just wish there was more monster toys for kids. Because when I was growing up, we had monster toys for kids. And that's part of what made me a monster kid, that I could go to the store and buy these toys. And kids today don't have that. And you say, well, they don't want it. But I think people are programmed to want what companies want them to want. Companies decide what they want to make, and not just toys, movies, media, whatever, and they prepare the audience to accept it. I think if monster toys for kids were properly marketed and promoted, I think kids would play with them. Or toys in general. Well, kids play with like Jurassic Park and dinosaurs and stuff like that. They play with that stuff. And I do like going to Target and seeing like, what did I do with that? Well, the NECA Universal Monsters, seeing them actually on the shelf. I know no kid is going to buy that, but I can fantasize that maybe a kid might see it and ask for that. It'd be nice. I've bought very little of all the stuff I've been talking about. I've purchased very little of it, and I plan to purchase very little of it, because it's not what I do. I like vintage toys. I like actual toys that are made for kids. I do like some of this stuff, though. But I don't want to spend thousands of dollars on adult-oriented toys that are not really toys. They're adult collectibles. I'd rather spend that money on a vintage item that was made for kids. So on the one hand, sort of the best of times and the worst of times, and there's a lot of stuff and a lot of variety. Who would ever think we'd have licensed Beast of Blood, or even though they're custom, still licensed Dracula versus Frankenstein, little Svengoolie figures, Krampus figure. Not too crazy about it, but it is a Krampus figure that's aimed at retail store space. I don't know who would carry it, but in the past, Target and Walmart, Big Lots, retail stores have carried Mego, so it's conceivable that this Krampus figure could end up in one of those stores. And that's weird to have a Krampus action figure of any kind in a store like that. So that's a good thing. Just that there is a Krampus figure in a retail store. Not yet. Next year, I guess. It's sad that NECA, I think, kind of fumbled the whole release of this Dr. Chalice figure. But at least we've got it. It was out there, and they made it available online, so you had your chance. If you really wanted it, you didn't have to be at the convention. You had your shot. And if you missed it, sorry. But they did at least make it available. So that's good. Well, I think that's all I need to do. If anyone has any advice on how to fix this creature, let me know. If anyone knows where I can get one of those crimping devices for the rivets, let me know. So here we are. We're at the end. Like I said at the beginning, this is like a live stream without the stream. It's a live stream without the live questions. But this, the way I approach this is like, if this were a live stream and you're asking like, what do I think about this? What do I think? All this stuff that people are talking about right now, these notes, this is all everything like people in my Facebook group, this is all the stuff they're talking about. Or in some of the other Facebook groups I'm in, these are the topics they're talking about right now. Like current events in Monster Toy World. So now I've answered all the questions you have not asked. And I've told you what I think of what's going on. Well, have a happy Halloween. And remember, there's still one more episode of Basement of Horror for the Halloween season, which will upload on Halloween morning. So be watching for that. Halloween morning. New episode of Basement of Horror. It'll be a 1 hour, not 10 hours, 1 hour episode. Vintage Halloween goodness. No modern stuff. All vintage Halloween stuff. I won't tell you what it is exactly, but very classic Halloween merchandise. Until then, the one who dies with the most toys is dead.